Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the bottom of the Pei Vov Amid Beis. Before we begin our shiur, we glance in the margin at the nosei, the topic heading, which reads Deos al Mahu Klal V'Toifes Shebe Mishnosenu. We will see a machlokis, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, defining the terms referenced in the Mishnah, klal and tofes. If we glance at the Mishnah briefly, you will see just a couple lines up, you can see in the Mishnah, it said, we have on the second line of the Mishnah, chamisha shekosvu klal besocha get, five that had written the get in a term or in a nusach of klal, ish ploni megarish plonis, uploni plonis, and voedim milamato, kulon kshirim, all of the gittin that are referred to in this particular document are kosher. And the way that each couple will divorce is v'yinosein l'chol achas v'achas. That very document with the five couples referenced will be given to each woman. The next part of the Mishnah, before we go further though, so let's emphasize, the Mishnah describes a situation, we have one document, multiple couples, and the get is effective in establishing or creating a divorce between each one. Hayakosev, the Mishnah goes on to say, Hayakosev toifes l'chol echad v'echad v'edim milamata. This is in contrast to klal, if it's written in the tofes form. So then the ruling is es shohaedim nikrin imoi kosher. In effect, the last couple, that's the couple upon whom the witnesses have signed their names. Apparently, the couples mentioned prior to the last one, in the case of tofes, are somehow separated from the signatures that appear at the bottom of the get. So now we have two terms, klal and tofes, and we have to define what are the circumstances that create a get that we can call klal and a get that we can would refer to as tofes. The Gemara, two lines from the bottom of Pei Vav Amid Beis, chamisha shekosvu klal v'chulei. Hechi domi klal, hechi domi tofes. What is meant by klal, or what would a get that is in the klal form appear as or look like? Likewise, the question is raised with regard to tofes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zman echad lekulan, zehu klal. One date that refers to all of the couples mentioned, that would be klal. Zman l'chol echad ve'echad zehu tofes. If there is a separate date for each couple mentioned in the document, so on a superficial level, it would appear then that the presence of dates between each couple cited would create a separation, a lack of continuity in the naming of the couples, and hence, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's called tofes. And therefore, the witnesses that sign on after all of the couples appear would be then attached only to the last couple. The previous couple is blocked or separated by the presence of a date introducing the last couple. The Ritva adds a detail when the Mishnah makes reference to Zman Echa Lukulan. So on the, we have a starred note that says on the, in the margin, quoting the Ritva, Kagon Shekosfu Be'echo B'Shabbos Giresh Ploni Es Ploni V'cholin Yonah Degita V'hodar Ksiv V'chein Giresh Es Ploni U'Mesayim Kol Inyona Degita. When we make reference to the names, we're not just saying that there's a series of names, but there is Mr. A is divorcing Mrs. A, and then the text of the get, the standard text of the get, follows their names, and then it goes on to say, and then Mr. B is divorcing Mrs. B, and the text of a get following their names, etc., and so forth. So what Rabbi Yochanan emphasizes, though, is that when you have one date, let's say, affixed at the top of the get, following which you have the list of couples divorcing each other, including the text of the get, the standard text that is characteristic of a get, following each couple's name, that nevertheless is considered one continuum. Why? Once again, because you have one date introducing the entire contents of the document. In contrast, Rabbi Yochanan mentioned, if there are dates that separate each couple, then the signatures of the witnesses that appear at the end are attached only to the last couple, and that's Tophes. We continue in the Gemara, Reish Lakish Omar. We continue now at the top of Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Afilu Zman Echod Lekulon Nami Havi Tophes. Even though you have only one date at the top, that nevertheless does not create a single continuum, and therefore it would be considered Tophes. And all the couples mentioned, with the exception of the last one, will not be divorced. Rashi at the top says, Afilu zman echad lekulon, nami havi tofes, lechol echad ve'echad lifsol hel yoinim. Hayol v'hizkir shem ish v'isha yachad, lechol echad ve'echad. Since when the couples are mentioned, just using the example we had before, Mr. A is divorcing Mrs. A. And then, afterwards, it goes on to say Mr. B is divorcing Mrs. B. So that at each point, the individual couple, man and woman, are mentioned as separate units. That's, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, the reason for considering that Tophes. Havei kol echad, havei kol, Rashi goes on to say, havei kol chad get le'atzmo. V'nimso achron mafsik bi'edus. The result of that is that the last couple that's mentioned separates the signatures at the bottom of the document from the couples mentioned above. V'ein eidim idim elo lav. The witnesses then are said to be signing on or bearing testimony only with regard to the last couple. The Gemara continues, Ela heichi domi klal, according to Reish Lakish, what would be considered the text of a get, of a, say, series of couples that we would call klal, where one document will be kosher to serve as the means of divorce for the multiple couples? Answer, de kosav, the following would be the text. And you'll see in Reish Lakish's example of klal, The men are listed off first, and they are said to be divorcing the following women. Anu, Ploni, Uploni, we, and Ploni, Uploni was reference to the men, Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, etc. Girashnu, Nishoisenu, Plonis, Uplonis. So after the men are listed as Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, etc., it says they are divorced, we are divorcing Mrs. A, Mrs. B, Mrs. C. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a bow tie shape, and under the Mivneh, the structural note, you'll notice we have two Shelos al Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, and then there's another form of a bow tie, so colored in tips, Kushya al Reish Lakish. We have two questions on Rabbi Yochanan and one on Reish Lakish, the Gemara. Maskifla Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba asks, the Rabbi Yochanan diyomar zman echad lekulon zeo klal, the fact that there's one date, that represents a klal form of divorce. Lechush dilma ki chos musadi abasra hu dechasimi. Why should we not still suspect that the witnesses, when they signed on only with regard to the last couple? Milo Tanya, do we not have the following Tanaic source, Adim? Chasumen al Shela Shalom Beget? Puzzle. If you have a divorce document, a get, a standard divorce document. However, at the end of the text of the get, you have a greetings at the end. What's referred to as Shela Shalom, and so-and-so is asking about the welfare and sending their best regards to so-and-so. So you have a divorce document with a letter of greeting at the end of the divorce document, and then witnesses sign. The Tanaic source says that the get is ineffective. Chayshino and Shemal Shela Shalom Chosmu were suspicious that the witnesses signed on only to the greetings that appeared at the end of the get. So too over here, why should we not suspect that you have several couples mentioned, and then, of course, you reach the last couple, and then the witnesses sign on. So just like we said in the Tanaic source, the witnesses sign on to that which immediately preceded them, but not on the rest of it. So too, in the klal form of get of Rabbi Yochanan, maybe the witnesses are signing only on to the last couple and not referring to the earlier ones. What joins them all together, according to Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara answers, Lav Yitmar Alom Rabbi Avo, was it not said concerning the source we just read with the She'elas Shalom, with the greetings, was it not said by Rabbi Avo, the Didiv Shalminei to Rabbi Yochanan, was explained to me by Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'alu Pasul, V'Sha'alu Kosher. Notice the emphasis on the Vav. If you had the text of the get, and as you come to the end, a separate word of greetings appears, that is what's puzzle. However, if you have a vav, the vav is a letter that's called, in this case, vav hachibur. It connects that which follows with that which appeared before. So that you have a divorce document in which Mr. A is divorcing Mrs. B, and the text of the get, the body of the get follows, and Mr. A is sending his best regards to so-and-so. And then the witnesses sign on. Since at the point that the greetings appeared, it was introduced with the vav, in English we'd say, and so-and-so is sending his regards, emphasis on the word and, that's kosher. Because the greetings is connected back with whatever preceded it. Hochinami, so too in our document with multiple couples mentioned, Dichtiv Bey, Ploni, Uploni, Uploni. In other words, Mr. A is divorcing Mrs. A, and the body of the get follows, and Mr. B is divorcing Mrs. B, and the body of the get follows, etc., in that form. So you have, as every subsequent couple appears, they're introduced with the vav, or with and. Therefore, when the witnesses are signing, they're signing with regarding everything that appeared above. Another question. Vesu. The Rabbi Yochanan diyomar zman l'chol echad zehu tofes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who described tofes as a separate date for each one, my iria mishum tofes. Why do you say that the above couples are not divorced because of tofes, because of that let's say, chisorin, that lacking. V'tepuklei, the havilei, is there not another problem here? There's a certain assumption that's made in this question, but it goes as follows. That each date that appears is later than the previous date. So that we, Rabbi Yochanan described it as Zman l'chol echod ve'echod is called tofes. Well, another problem. You have a case where the text is written by day and the date is in accordance with when it's written, and the witnesses sign at night, which is really a new day. This example is what we'll call lav dafka. It simply is a description of a case where signatures appear at the bottom of a document with all the previous dates that introduced each couple, each one being, let's say, later than the previous couple. And that's not acceptable when you have the body of the get written with one date when the signing takes place later on. Omar le mor kshisha brei de Rav Chisda le Rav Ashi hachi aminon mishmei de Rav Yochanan. Thusly it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Dichtiv behu b'chad b'shabo, b'chad b'shabo. In fact, there were multiple dates, but they were the same date. On May 1, Mr. A divorces Mrs. A and the body of the get. On May 1, Mr. B divorces Mr. B. On May 1, Mr. C is divorcing Mrs. C. So that you don't have any discrepancy in the dating. The only reason that the above couples, other than the last couple, are not considered divorced is because there was a separate reference to a date, even though it's the same date as all the subsequent couples, but nevertheless, the presence of a separate dating for each couple is what creates the toe-face phenomenon. And therefore, since it's the same date that's being repeated, we can't disqualify the get based on the problem of niftav b'yoyim v'nechtam b'layla, but rather because it's a toe-face form get. And now we turn to Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish, the Oma. Let me read the Omar Le Ravino, the Ravashi. Do note, by the way, this is a long question. Ravino asks Ravashi regarding Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish domar zman echad lekulan nami tofes havi vehechi domi klal. And how did Reish Lakish describe klal? Reish Lakish said that one date above all the names, all the couples described, still is considered tofes, as we said, because the separate reference to each couple separates each one from the subsequent couple. So, and what did Reish Lakish say is meant by klal? Dichtiv bei anu. The men listed off their names in one list. Ploni, uploni, girashtun, nishosenu, plonis, uplonis. And then the list of the women appeared as a separate list. Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C are divorcing Mrs. A, Mrs. B, Mrs. C. How in the world can that be considered effective? Asks Ravina of Ravashi. How can Reish Lakish say that that's kosher? Nimsu shtei noshim misgarshois beget echad. The result of that is that you have multiple women being divorced with one get. V'atorah amra v'kosav la. And the Torah right says in Parshas Kisei Tzein Vorim Perichov Dalet, says that he, the husband, shall write unto her the divorce. V'lo la ula chaverta, not to her and someone else. I just want to emphasize maybe that which is obvious. is that this problem of shtei noshim mizgarshes beget echad is not a reference to the fact that you have multiple couples referenced in one document, but rather when you have the multiple women listed one after the other, that is where get echad becomes a problem. So that here we have to be careful not to, let's say, fall into the trap of literal translation, but rather the text, the language of the get is what is the determining factor. So what is the solution to this particular problem? In other words, how in the world could Reish Lakish approve of a get where what he would call klal is where you have the list of men divorcing a list of women? Is that not the problem of shtei noshim mizgarshes beget echad? The Gemara answers, the Hodar Kosav, following the listing, it goes on to say, it repeats, but in a specified fashion. Ploni, Giresh Plonis. Mr. A is divorcing Mrs. A. Uploni, Giresh Plonis. And Mr. B is the one divorcing Mrs. B. So that the fact that you have it individualized later on in the document, that's enough to serve as, we'll say, the antidote, the resolution to the objection of shtei noshim beget echad. Omar le Ravino le Ravashi, umay shno meha desanya. Up till now, we've been speaking about a get isha. We're now going to raise a question dealing with shihur avodim, the freeing of slaves. The topic of the freeing of slaves is compared through Tereshit Baal Peh to the topic of divorce of couples, women, man divorcing wife. So that we're not raising a question that we would call apples and oranges, but it's coming from within the same general set of rules. So in light of that, we ask, what is different about get isha than that which you see in the following? The sanya, hakosev kol nechosov lishnei avodov. A man assigns all of his properties to two of his slaves. And we learn, as we said just a moment ago, through a gzera shava of law, the word law, lamed hei, law, me'isha. There's a gzera shava, we compare the topics. And if a man writes all of his properties, assigns all of his properties to two of his slaves, kanu, it is acquired, u'mishachrim zeh, and each slave will then free the other one. In other words, if he's writing all of his properties to two slaves, included in the man's properties are the slaves themselves. So each slave becomes, we'll say, half owner of the other slave. So each slave then will then set free the other slave. Whatever holding he has in the other slave, they'll be set free, and each one they'll share in the properties and as full fledged Jews, which is the result of slaves being freed. What's the question, though? So we look in Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at, you'll see a few lines, just about the two lines up from here in the Rashi commentary. Umay shno ha meha desanya v'chule v'eved gomar law me'isha. The topic of freedom of slaves is learned through gzeira shava from the topic of divorcing wives. V'lo paslinon lehu mishum v'lo la lechaverta. Here you have an owner citing both slaves in this document, and we don't say that this freedom of the slaves is rejected because it's not individualized. Sheshichre shneim bevas achas. He in effect is freeing both of them in one shot. V'domi l'kamaisa d'Reish Lakish, and it appears to be very similar to the original version of Reish Lakish before the Gemara's Answer. Anu ploni uploni girashnu nishenu plonis uplonis. We, Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mr. D, are divorcing Mrs. A, Mrs. B, Mrs. C, Mrs. D. And we see in the case of the freedom of the slaves, Vamai, Boi, Mahader, Umichtav, why then did the Gemara answer with regard to Reish Lakish that he had to repeat the couples in an individualized form, Ploni Giresh Plonis, Ploni Plonis. Ha, Kosav, here in the case of the freedom of the slaves, all the owner writes is, Kol Nechosai Leploni Ploni Avodai, all of my properties I am bequeathing unto, or I am transferring unto so and so my slaves. Vikotani Konu Kol Nechosim, and it says that they acquire all of the properties. V'nimtzu kol echot chetzio ben chorin v'chetzio eved l'chavero, and the result of that would be that each one is half free and half enslaved to his friend. U'mishachrim zeh zeh chetzien, and then each one will free the other one's half that they own. So from this Tanaic source, it would appear there's no need to then specify in an individual form the each couple separately. The Gemara responds, V'lav ukimno bishnei shtaros. Is it not so, however, that the owner bequeathing his properties unto his slaves in fact did so in two separate documents? Rashi says, bishnei shtaros shekosav bishtar kol nechosai leploni avdi. In one shtar, in one document, he says, all of my properties are given to my slave, Mr. A. And in a separate document, all of my properties are given to my servant, slave, Mr. B. Well, you would say that the two documents actually contradict one another. However, Rashi goes on to say, U'mosron lohen b'vasachas. He gave both of these documents to the two slaves at once. Shlo kidam zeh lo zeh. It's not as if one acquired before the other. So if they acquired simultaneously, hilchuk koni shneim, they are therefore both the owners of his properties. Dahai omar kulu didi, vahai omar kulu didi. Each one is claiming all of them for himself. And as a result of each one's equal claim, it's split. But what's of importance to us is that in the case of the freeing of the slaves, the owner wasn't transferring all his properties to both slaves in one document. Therefore, the answer we gave before for Reish Lakish, in order to get solve the problem of Shtei Noshim Beget Echad, there was a need for the individual citation of each couple within that particular document in order to validate it as a chlal form get. The Gemara goes on to say, now, Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya Kavose de Reish Lakish. We have Tanaic sources supporting each one of the opinions that we saw. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in defining Klal and Toifes, and Reish Lakish's opinion in defining those terms. Tanyo Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. Chamisha Shekosvu Besoch HaGet. Five couples that wrote within a get. Ish Ploni Megarish Plonis. Uploni Plonis. Uploni Plonis. And notice now we have dashed underline Uzman Echod Lekulon, one date for all of the couples, for Edim Milamato, and witnesses sign at the end. Kulon Ksherim, Vetinose Lechol Achas Vachas. All of the divorces are valid. The document is to be given to each one of the women. Rashi says, Ish ploni v'chulei hainu k'Rabbi Yochanan de lo kotoni onu ploni uploni girashnu. This source is in support of Rabbi Yochanan, as it does not say we, the following men, and then list the men one after the other before making any reference to the women. So in this sense, you have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan. The source goes on, Zman l'chol echad ve'echad, if there's a date introducing each couple, Ve'edim milamato, and witnesses sign at the end, Es sho'edim nikroim imo kosher, those, or the couple that appears together with the witnesses after them, only that couple is effectively divorced. Only on them do you have testimony or witnesses that signed. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir Omer im yesh revach beinehem posel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir says if there is a gap between the couples, in the gap in the writing of the document, after stating couple A in the text of the get, and then there appears a gap, a blank line, posel, that would create the separation, and the above-mentioned couples are not going to be divorced. V'im lav kosher. And if there is no gap, then it's okay. Then it's kosher. She'ein zman mafsikon. The fact that a separate date appears for each couple, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir, that does not create a separation between them. But a physical gap on the document, a blank line between the couples, that would create a separation. Tanya kavose dereish lakish. Chamisha shikosfu klal beso haget. Five couples that appeared in the klal form in the get. And what is the definition of klal? Onu, ploni, uploni, girashnu, nishaisenu, ploinis, uploinis. The listing of the men appears prior to the listing of the women. Ploni giresh plonis, uploni giresh plonis. And as we explained above, the couples are then individualized, mentioned individually afterwards. Uzman echad lekulonen, one date introduces all of them. For Eidim milamato, and witnesses sign at the end. Kulon ksherim, they're all acceptable. V'sinosein l'chol achas v'achas. And each man gives each woman this document, and each one of the couples will be divorced. Zman l'chol echad ve'echad, v'revach l'chol echad ve'echad. If there's a separate date and a gap between each one, v'edim milamato, and witnesses sign at the end, es sho'edim nikroim imo kosher. The last couple, which is the couple that appears together with the witnesses, only that couple will be divorced. Rabbi Meir Omer, afal pi she'ein revach b'neim posel, shazman mafsikon. Rabbi Meir says, even without the gap between each one, the fact that a separate date, a separate noting of the date appears between each one, that's enough to create the separation, and hence only the last couple would be divorced. The Gemara asks, V'reish Lakish, my irya zman l'chol echad ve'echad. As far as Reish Lakish is concerned, why speak about a separate mentioning of the date for each one? Ha Omar, is it not so that according to Reish Lakish, zman echad l'kulonami tofes have? Why in this source does it, in describing the, we'll say, the separation of the couples, why is it noted that there's a separate date for each one? You notice we're using arrows to connect the respective points in the source. We had dashed underlined zman l'chol echad ve'echad, and at the top line, Reish Lakish appeared as saying afilu zman echad l'kulon is considered tofes. So our question is, why does this source mention zman l'chol echad ve'echad as being responsible for separation, when even without that, even with one date for all of them, it still would be considered a separation? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when do we say that one Zman is Tofes? Hecha Delo Arvinu Meikora. That's where there wasn't a listing of them, of the men together. Aval Hocha De Arvinu Meikora. But in the source where we saw the list of men appearing together, there was a combining of all the men together and all the women together. Ipolig luhuzman in, only then if you have a separate citation of the date for each one, would that constitute a tofes. Elo, if you don't have a separation of if you don't have the couple separated by a date, then lo, then the there won't be the fact that there's one Zman at the beginning, and since all of the couples were mentioned together, list of men, then the list of women, that you would not have an instrument of separation. So just to review, just to repeat this last point, what Reish Lakish mentioned at the beginning, that Zman Echad Lekulon would create a toface, that is true. In other words, that would not prevent the toe-face phenomenon from setting in. Why? Because he had not listed all of them together at the beginning. But where he had listed them all together at the beginning, in order to create separation, you'll need Zman L'chol Echod Ve'echod. The Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to describe two gittin. I will not say two divorce documents, because that would imply they're two separate pieces of paper. In fact, you have two divorces listed in one document, but in this case, they're written in two columns. So divorce of couple one appears in one column, and then side by side, the divorce of couple two appears in the second column. As far as this Gemara is concerned, from the Mishnah on till the continuing into the next Mishnah, I should say certainly the balance of today's shiur is be very beneficial to make use of diagrams to help clarify what is being spoken of. In this particular case, without dwelling on any details, this description hopefully is clear. You have two gittin, that's two divorces, appearing in one document, each one in a separate column. Now, following this, at the bottom of this document, Ushnei Eidim Ivrim, Boim Mitachas Zeh Litachas Zeh. Ushnei Eidim Yevonim, Boim Mitachas Zeh Litachas Zeh. Two, Eidim Ivrim. Eidim Ivrim means Jews that sign their names in the Ivri style, we'll say in the Hebrew style. The Hebrew style would be if someone writes, for example, Reuven ben Yankiv. So Reuven is the name of the witness, and he's describing himself as the son of Yankiv. Reuven ben Yankiv. So on, you have a right column and a left column. Under the right column appears Reuven. Under the left column appears Yankiv, the father's name. When Jews that come from Yavam is the Greek Empire. When a person, though he's Jewish, but he signs in the Greek fashion. So let's say a man signs his name as Yosef ben Shimon. What that really means is that Yosef has a son named Shimon. Well, who's signing the get? the son is signing the get. Shimon is signing the get. So that if you have two gittin written in separate columns, if you had the Greek Jews signing, as we just said as an example, Yosef ben Shimon, the left hand column has the man's signature on it. Because as we said, Yosef ben Shimon means Yosef has a son Shimon, and Shimon is the one who's signing. So our Mishnah says that if you have, let's say, four witnesses signing underneath these documents, Es Shoedim Horishonim Nikroim Imoy Kosher, the get that has the first two witnesses signing on it, that get is kosher. We take a look at the Rashi. Shnayim Ivrim Boyim Mitachas. We have on the second wide line of the Gemara, of the Rashi commentary, under the Gemara text. Two witnesses that sign as Ivrim, in the Jewish style. Harishon Litachas Hasheni. Shem Ho'e Tachas Harishon. The name of the witness is under the first get. V'shem Oviv Tachas Hasheni. When we make reference to Rishon and Cheney, Rishon would be the right-hand column, Sheni the left-hand column, the Chain Aid Sheni Tachtov, and likewise, the second Jewish signing witness underneath him. The Chozer V'chozer Mutachteim Shnei Yisrael Yivonim Adorim Beret Yavon. And underneath the first two witnesses, two more Jews that come from the Greek country signed on. U'b'loshin Yivonis K'derech Hazu. And they signed on as Greeks would sign their names. Aval chasimas hayevonim eino nikreis kechasimos yivrim. When Greeks sign, they don't sign in the same fashion as Jews. She kesheyavoni choisem Yosef ben Shimon. When Yavoni writes that, biyodua she shmoi Shimon ben Yosef. If Yosef ben Shimon, the Greek Jew, were to sign as the Jews sign, he would have signed Shimon ben Yosef. Shekach misparishes chasimoson. Yosef ben Shimon, klomar, the Greek Jew who signs Yosef ben Shimon, and he's signing in the Greek fashion, what is he saying? Klomar, benoi shel Yosef Shimon. He's saying that the son of Yosef is Shimon. Means, I am the son of Yosef. The result of that, in the, we'll say, third and fourth position, two Greek Jews had signed on, the actual names of the signers are under the get sheni, under the left hand get. The Mishnah ruled that if you have four witnesses, the first two signing in the Jewish style, and the second witnesses three and four Jews signing in the Greek style. So if the first two witnesses were in our, as we said in our example, the Jewish style signing, so then the right hand side will be kosher. If the first two witnesses were signing in the Greek style, so then the left-hand side get will be kosher. You might ask, why is the second set of witnesses considered irrelevant? That's something the Gemara will deal with. Let's continue in our Mishnah. Eid Echad Ivri V'Eid Echad Yivoni V'Eid Echad Ivri V'Eid Echad Yivoni Boyim Mitachaze L'Tachaze Shneim Psulim. If the four witnesses appear in a in an alternating fashion. First Jew signs, then Greek signs, then Jew signs, then Greek signs. Both gittin will be unacceptable. When we get to the Gemara on this point, we'll be ultimately saying that we have a doubt, we have a suffolk. Are there three witnesses on the right-hand side and only one witness on the left? Or one witness on the right-hand side and three witnesses on the left? So one witness, though, is not acceptable. And in the scenario that we'll eventually describe, we're not saying any details right now, but in the scenario that we'll eventually describe, there is a doubt that possibly it's a 3-1 or 1-3 situation. And since I don't know which one is which, one of the gittin, in fact, has only one witness, and you have to have a minimum of two witnesses signing on. We continue now in the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara itself, we make reference to the Nosei / Mivne heading that appears on the side, in the margin. The triangles that you see here are Sidra. There's a series, Shel She'elois, series of questions, Shematarosim Levara Loma Lo Machshirim Gam Haged Hasheni Bereisha Shel HaMishnah. Why do we not validate the second get in the Reisha of the Mishnah? As we learned in Rashi, either the right-hand side get will be kosher, and that's because the Jewish style signing took place first, or the left-hand side get will be kosher because the Greek style appeared, the two Greek style signers signed on first. The Gemara asks, as we said, why don't we say that both gittin are kosher? V'lis kasher, why not say that the right hand get, as we said, the names appear going across the bottom of the get, bottom of the document, Ruvein ben Yankov. So the name Ruvein appears under the right hand get, and then Ben Yankov appears underneath the left-hand column, the left-hand get. So the Gemara asks, "Feliskasher, hi Ruvein, why not have the right-hand side valid because Ruvein's name appears there, and the left-hand get appears underneath it appears Ben Yankov Aid. A person signs Ruvein Ben Yankov Aid, and he signed his name clear across the document. This document had two columns above. So under the right-hand column, Ruvein appeared. That's the man's name. And that person happens to also be the son of Yankov. The Hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that says, Ben Ish Ploni Eid. Kosher, if a person signs his name only with reference to himself as the son of his father, he writes Ben so-and-so as witness, that's acceptable. The Gemara answers, you know why we are not going to say that over here? For a very simple practical reason. The Kosav Ruvein Ben Akamo. On the right hand side, get, underneath it, there appeared the expression Ruvein Ben. The Yankev Eid Abasra. And under the left hand column appeared Yankev Eid. Well, Yankov was not the aide. Yankov is the name of the father of the witness. So, to say that the left-hand get should be kosher because Yankov aide appears underneath it, that's not sufficient. It's not only that, it's simply inaccurate. Yankov was not the witness on the left-hand column. Question. V'liskasher hai b'ruvein ben... Why not have the right-hand side valid because underneath it says Ruvein Ben, and the left-hand side it says Yankev Eid, and we know that if a person's name appears without the, we'll say, the father-son description, simply writing Ish Ploni Aid, so-and-so Aid, that's kosher. So why not have the left-hand side validated? Because it says underneath it, Yankov Aid. Number one. Answer number one. The lo kosav Aid. Because under, in our case, the word Aid, Aid means the witness. That word doesn't appear. Viboy is same. All the other the kosav Aid. Under column, the left-hand column, it said Yankov Aid. The word Aid, which means witness, did appear. However, Udi Adinon Behal Chasimo Delav the Yankovu. As we explained earlier, we know that this is not the signature of Yankov. The Gemara asks at the top of Amud Beis, V'dilma b'shma d'avu achasim, maybe Reuven used his father's name in signing the get. So that you have a signature, you have a handwriting signature under the left-hand side get. Whose signature, who is the writer of it? Reuven is. He's simply using his father's name in signing his own name. The Gemara answers, Lo shavik inishmei v'chosim shma davua. People will not abandon their own names and use their father's names in signing documents. Question. V'dilma simona shavya. Maybe he uses his father's name as a simon. A simon, we can say something like a monogram, as a simon literally means a sign. And you'll see now illustrations of people signing without actually signing their names, using something of a sign, we can refer to it as an icon as their signature. The Harav Tzir Kavra, Rav, when signing documents, he would draw a fish. Rabbi Chanina Harusa, Rabbi Chanina would sign, drawing a palm branch. Rav Chisda Samach, Rav Chisda would simply sign by writing the letter Samach. Rav Hoshaya Aryan, Rav Hoshaya would sign just by writing the letter Aryan. Rabo Bar Rav Huna Tzir Makusa. And Rabba would draw a picture of a ship mast with a mast with a sail on it. So in light of we'll say that precedent, maybe our friend Reuven ben Yankov is signing Yankov as his own monogram or his own icon. The Gemara says, "Lo chotzef inish l'shavya l'shma davua simon." A person would not have the nerve, would not have the chutzpah to convert his father's name into a simon. So far, we've answered why only one side, and in this case, only the right-hand side get will be kosher. Question, again, a long question. V'liskasher hai b'shnei edim ivrim. V'liskasher hai b'shnei edim yevonim. We alluded to this when we were learning the Mishnah. Why not say the right-hand side get has two Jewish-style signatories, and the left-hand get is kosher with the two Greek-style signatories? Just to repeat the description, under the first name is Reuven ben Yankov, Jewish style signing. The second signatory is Shlomo ben David, Jewish style signing. The third signer has signed on Yosef ben Shimon, which we mentioned before. That means that Yosef has a son, Shimon. And the name Shimon is running across from, we're saying, from right to left. So the name of the actual witness is Shimon, and his name appears under the left-hand get. And you have a fourth name also signed in the Greek style. Menashe, or Chizkiah ben Menashe, which means Chizkiah has a son, Menashe, who's signing the left-hand get. So why not have both getin kosher? When you have these four witnesses, first two signing in Jewish style, second two signing in Greek style, Tisnan, get shekosfo ivris ve'edov yavonis. Yavonis ve'edov ivris kosher. If you have a get written in one language and the witnesses sign in another language, it's okay. Vechitema, you might say, kevon de muflog b'shnei shitim lo. You might say that since the second two signatures are, we'll say, removed from or distanced from the document that they were signing, the get that they were signing. In other words, signatures 3 and 4 appear after signatures 1 and 2. And signatures 1 and 2 were the testimony, if the first two were, let's say, Jewish-style signers, they were testimony for the right-hand side get. Where is the testimony for the left-hand side get? Well, it's two lines later, so that the witnesses, numbers 3 and 4, are separated by two lines from the document, from the get that they are supposedly signing. So you might say, well, that's muflog, means distanced or separated by two lines. So you might say that's the reason why we can machshir only one of the getin, in our example, only the right-hand get. But Chizkia has taught, mil'ehu b'kroivim kosher. There's a Rashi that we'll look at a few lines up from here in the narrow lines. The Omar Chizkia Hasam, Chizkia said over there, in another location, in reference to the Gemara cited by Rashi above, if in the Gemara in Bava Basra says that if witnesses distance their names from the text they're signing on the two blank lines. So you have a document and then the equivalent of two blank lines of writing, but they're blank, and then witnesses sign on, such a document is puzzle, is invalid. Regarding that, Chizkia says, and we continue in the Rashi, mil'ehu l'oisa avir b'kroivim kosher. If you filled in the gap, the space, the blank section with relatives' names. Now, relatives are not kosher to serve as witnesses. Two brothers sign on the get. They fill in the avir, the blank spot. Chizkia points out, as long as you have two kosher witnesses that follow, it's okay. The lo kabdinon elo avira. The only disqualifying factor would be a blank space. Two lines of blank. The altakameh, shari avir posel b'shloshe b'suka, schach posel posel barbo. We have precedent for, in the case of a sukkah, where the schach, if there's three tvachim of air, of no covering, that renders the sukkah invalid. Schach posel is not as strict, is not as restrictive. You need to have four tvachim of schach posel, of unkosher schach, to render the sukkah a problem. So that two lines of blank, that's a problem. That's like airspace. But two lines filled in with puzzle witnesses, that doesn't render the document unfit, as long as you have two kosher witnesses later. So our question is, why do we say that that only one of the two columns in our sugya are kosher? The Gemara answers, Hotoni Ziri. In fact, Ziri, in presenting our Mishnah, in his, we'll say, his Tanaic presentation, we call his Brisa, that reflects our Mishnah, the two Gittin in two columns, Ziri teaches, Shneim Sherim, in fact, both are kosher, the right-hand side get, and the left-hand side get. The Tana di Don, well, what about our Tana that doesn't say that? Our Tana says that only the get, which has two witnesses that follow it immediately, are kosher. The Gemara answers, the reason our Tana does not validate both getin, accepts only one of them, is Dilma Gundelis Chosim, V'kulu achad hu dechasimi. The word gundalus is a very unusual word, but for our purposes it means a reversal or hefech, is to do the opposite of what you ordinarily would do. So we'll illustrate this. We mentioned we have two gittin, one in the right column, one in the left column of a particular document. Under the two columns, you have witnesses that signed their names across the page. Reuven ben Yankiv is the first one to sign. Shlomo ben David is the second one to sign. And those are two people signing, we'll say, in the Jewish style. Namely, your name followed by father's name. What we're suspicious is that the two Greek Jews decided to sign in an opposite way of they ordinarily would sign. Well, if they decided to, let's say, copy the Jewish style, so then witnesses 3 and 4, even though they're Greek Jews, they're signing as in the Jewish style, so you have in effect 4 witnesses on one get. And the other get has no witnesses signing it. The other get has only a reference to the fathers of the witnesses that signed the right-hand get. Of course, you can present the same case in the opposite form, where the first two witnesses signed in the Greek style, and if that's the case, that means the left-hand column would be kosher, and two Jews that come from Israel that ordinarily sign one way, maybe Gundalus said in here, and they copied the way that the Greek Jews sign. And in that case, you'd have 4 witnesses on one get and no witnesses on the other, on the right-hand one. So that's what our Tana takes into consideration. He's Choshesh. He suspects that maybe it was signed by the witnesses 3 and 4, Gundalus, opposite from the way they usually do, copying, rather, the way the first two witnesses had signed. The Gemara continues. Eid Echad Ivri v'Eid Echad Yevoni. Our Mishnah presented a case where you had the witnesses signing in an alternating fashion. First Jewish style, then the second witness was a Greek Jew, signed Greek style. Third witness, Jewish style. Fourth witness, Greek style. Our Mishnah said that none of the Gittin are kosher. The Gemara asks, why are none of the Gittin kosher? V'liskasher hai b'eid echad ivri v'eid echad yivoni. V'hai b'eid echad ivri v'eid echad yivoni. Why not have both Gittin kosher? One get has a Jewish witness and a Greek witness, and the other get has a Jewish witness and a Greek witness. Tahat Tanan, Eid Echad Ivri, V'Eid Echad Yevoni, Kosher. If you had, let's say, one standard document, not our case of two columns, simply one standard document, and you have two witnesses signing, first witness signed in the Jewish style, and the second witness signed in the Greek style. That's okay. So why can't we say that over here? In order to understand and appreciate the Gemara's question that we just read, it's essential to refer back to the illustration that you see on in Rashi on the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Omer Aleph. We look at it and we'll study the illustration together with the explanation. So you see two columns. Each one is introduced with the term Bekach Liyerech, and the right hand side and the left column also Bekach Liyerech. Of course, here the Gemara and the illustration is being very brief. That represents, that's the date, and then in your mind's eye, imagine the text of each get, and then what follows are signatures. So we have this one document in two columns going across under the, from the first get, from the right-hand side to the left-hand side, you can see Reuven, Ben, Yankiv, and Ivri. Ivri means he's signing in the Jewish style. The next witness, a Greek Jew, in the Greek style, writes underneath the left-hand column, as you can see in the illustration, Yosef, and then going down the line, back to the right-hand side, Yosef the Yevoni, Greek style, Yosef ben Shimon. And on the same line, going across to the left-hand column, you see Kehos, Ivri means Jewish style, ben Levi. And then underneath that, not continuing on the same line, but underneath that, you have a Greek style signature, Yechatzkel ben Naphtali, Yevoni. Now, if we analyze each one of the names, let's just cite the names. Keep your eye on the illustration. We're citing four names right now. Four names of people with their father. Reuven ben Yaakov, Yosef ben Shimon, Kehos ben Levi, Yachzil ben Naphtali. The first witness signed in the Jewish style, so his the actual witness's name is has relevance to the right-hand document. The second one to sign, signed in the Greek style, Yosef ben Shimon, which in the Greek style means Yosef has a son, Shimon. So the who's signing it, though? Shimon is the signer. Where does his name, where does the actual witness's name appear? Once again, on the right-hand get. Shimon is the name of the actual person signing. So you have two witnesses, one Jewish style, one Greek style, on the right-hand get. On the same line, after Shimon, appears a Jewish style signature, Kehos ben Levi. So the name of the actual witness is on the left-hand get. And after his name appeared, dropping down another line, in the Greek style, someone signed Yachzil ben Naphtali. In the Greek style, what does that mean? Yachzil has a son, Naphtali. So Naphtali is the actual witness. He's signing on the left hand. So we have now, I have two witnesses. I have Kehos and Naphtali on the left hand get. Why did our Mishnah say that in a case of one Jewish style, one Greek style, one Jewish style, one Greek style, they're both unkosher, they're both invalid? The Gemara answers two approaches. The first, well, Ha Tani Ziri Shnehem Sherim. In fact, Ziri says both are kosher. The Tana Didon, our Tana, which did not teach thusly. Why not? Why don't we say both are kosher? Answer, this should sound familiar. Dilma Gundalis Chasim. We're suspicious that there might have been Gundalis, a one of the witnesses signed in a reverse fashion. Utlosa achad v'chad achad. And the result of that could be that I've got three witnesses on one and one witness on the other. So going back to our example, what we're going to give you one example, not to overburden with each one of us with too many examples, but just one example. Going back to the diagram of Rashi on the Mishnah. The first witness signed Reuven ben Yankiv in the Jewish style. That means for our purposes that the right-hand column has one witness. The next one to sign, Yosef ben Shimon, he was a Greek Jew, but we're suspicious that he might have signed in the Jewish fashion. If he signed in the Jewish fashion, he signed Yosef ben Shimon, that means now I have one witness on the left-hand side. The next one to sign, Kehos ben Levi. He signed in the regular Jewish fashion. So now I have two witnesses on the left-hand get. The next one to sign after Kehos was Yachzil ben Naphtali Yevoni. He didn't reverse. He signed as a regular Greek would sign. What does that mean then? It means Yachzil has a son Naphtali. Naphtali is the actual signer. Now I have a third witness on the left-hand get. So I have three on the left and only one on the right. Who was the one on the right? It was Yosef ben Shimon, who even though he was Greek, were suspicious that he signed. Must make a correction. The one on the right, the only one witness on the right, would have been the first one, Reuven ben Yankov. Reuven, the son of Yankov. Reuven is the actual witness. So where did Gundelis come in to create three on the left? Gundelis figured with regard to the second witness in our example, Yosef ben Shimon reversed his Greek tradition and signed in a Jewish style, copying the style of the first witness, the result of that being that the left-hand get had Yosef as the first witness. The second witness was Kehos, and the third witness was Yachzel ben Naphtali, which means, and he didn't do anything reversal, he did the Greek style. Yachzel's his son Naphtali. That example, of course, can be given where if the second Greek signer, he did a Gundelis, the result then would be you'd have three witnesses on the right-hand column and only one witness on the left-hand column. That one witness would have been, in our example, Kehos ben Levi. We turn back to the Gemara. We have a new Mishnah. Shir Mitzvos HaGet V'Kosvoi B'Daf HaSheni. Again, we have a two-column situation, but only one get, only one couple being divorced. So that he had, we'll say, the balance of what was going to be written ended up, he finished off his writing in the second column. So that he wrote the bulk, the majority of the get in the right-hand column. And the end of the get he wrote in the second column. Vo'edim milamato kosher. And witnesses signed underneath, it's acceptable, it's kosher. When the Mishnah mentions that the Edim signed milamato, what it means is they signed at the end of the text. That means that they signed at the conclusion of whatever was written in the second column. Of course, the second column was really the minority of the amount of writing, so that you have a first column that's complete. The second column only had in it the balance. And following the writing in that second column, the two witnesses sign. And we're saying that's acceptable. The Gemara will raise a series of questions as to why is that situation kosher? Is there not, in fact, reason for suspecting foul play? And what could be raised as a suspicion will be, of course, presented in detail in the Gemara. Continuing in the Mishnah, Chosmu Eidim Barosh Hadaf, if the witnesses sign at the top of the document, O Min Hatzad, or at the side, along the side of the document, O Me'achorav Beget Poshut Posel, or they signed in the on the reverse side, on the back side of the get, in a what's called a Get Poshut. Get Poshut is a standard get, where a standard document witnesses sign on the same side as the writing at the bottom, but in this case he didn't do so. They signed on the reverse side. That would be invalid. Hekif Rosho Shelze Bitsad Rosho Shelzeh. In order to appreciate this, we look in the Rashi, Hekif, Chiber, Ze, Eitzel, Ze. At this point, we're going back to the topic of two Gittin, written in the same document. One get was written from the middle of the paper downwards, and then the other get was written from the middle of the paper upwards. In other words, you'd have to just flip the paper around 180 degrees and then start writing the second get from the middle of the paper upwards. In other words, the first line of the get would start in the middle, and the second line following that till the top of the paper. So the word hikif, by the way, means next to one another. And the Mishnah in describing that, the first example of Rosh Hashanah, the top of one get, was next to the top of the other get. V'eidim be'emsa, and be at the in the space left between these two gittin, witnesses signed, shnehem psulim, both gittin are invalid. Very simply because the witnesses do not appear at the end of either get. The witnesses appear between the two gittin, between the tops of the two gittin. Soifei shelzeh betzad soifei shelzeh. This is a similar type scenario, but instead of starting the writing of the get in the middle of the page and working down, and starting the other one in the middle of the page working to the other end, here they started writing each get at the edge of the paper, writing in towards the middle. V'ho'edim be'emsa, and the witness is signed in the middle. Es shoedim nikrin imo kosher. In this case, the witnesses' names will appear as the conclusion of one of those two gittin. Roishoy shelzeh betzad soifoy shelzeh voedim beemtza. Here you have a case of two gittin written one after the other, but in the normal direction. So you started at the top line writing get number one, ending kind of in the middle of the paper, then a gap, and then you continue writing in the same direction a second get. Between the two, you have witnesses that signed. So we say that, assuming that the witnesses signed also in the same direction of the writing, then we say that the the get that has following it the witnesses' signatures will be kosher. And in the case we just described of Rosh Shelzeh Betzad Sofer Shelzeh, the result would be that the middle get, or I should say the top get, will be kosher, because following the top get, the witnesses having signed there in the middle, their names are following the top get. Get shekosfoy ivris v'edov yevonis. This is a citation that we saw a couple of times earlier. A get that's written in Hebrew and the witness is signed in Greek. Yevonis v'edov ivris. Or the get was written in Greek and the witness is signed in Hebrew. Eidechod ivri v'edechod yevoni. Or one witness signed in Hebrew and the other one signed in Greek, kosher. Those are acceptable. Ksav sofer ve'arid, kosher. Here we're just going to translate. There is a discussion as to what this really means, as we've seen quite a few times in previous dapim. The translation is the writing of the scribe, who he wrote the body of the get, and one witness signs on, that's kosher. Ish ploni eid kosher. If a person signs his name without his father's name, since just his name, I'm signing as witness. So if his name is David, he writes David, witness, that's okay. Ben Ish Ploni, aid, kosher. If someone signs his name, stating that he is the son of so-and-so, without his own personal name, but he indicates, I am the son of so-and-so, is witness, that's acceptable. Ish Ploni, Ben Ish Ploni, velokos of aid. If he wrote his name, the son of so-and-so, without adding the word aid, kosher, v'kachoyu nikiye hadas shebushalayim oisin. And that is the style of signing of the pure ones of Jerusalem. The nikiye hadas was a special, say, elite group of Jews from Jerusalem. They practice terseness in their writing, and as such they left out they deleted the word aid, feeling that it's extra, it's unnecessary, and in fact the Mishnah rules that it's kosher. We now raise questions, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And the diamond that you see represents Sidra Shel Chashoshes, a series of suspicions that could be raised with the Chiyosim and their respective rejections. Kedei Lahasbir Kashus Haget Bereishis Shel HaMishnah. All of this is an attempt to demonstrate how the description at the beginning of the Mishnah is valid. So in other words, we're saying, even though when you read the Mishnah as it is, you could say, well, isn't there room to suspect foul play? We're going to tell you no. And we have to explain, of course, where is there room to suspect the foul play, and then answer in each case why we're not going to suspect that. V'lechush dilmo hani tre gitihavu. Why should we not suspect that what we saw in the Mishnah, what appeared to be one get written in two columns, first column complete, second column partial, with witnesses signing after the completion of after the partial second column? Maybe originally there were in fact two gittin written in two columns. You had one large piece of paper. It was originally a much larger piece of paper. Get one was written in one column. Get number two written in a second column. The Isrami leizman dekamo. The Adim deBasra. And the date for get one is what we see here, and the witnesses that appear were really the witnesses that signed at the end of a complete second get. And the positioning of the date on the for the first document was as we said, at the top, at the beginning of the first document, and the witnesses that we see signing are witnesses that signed the second get. Vigazye Lizman de Basra, and he cut off the date that was at the top of the second get. V'edim de Kamo, and he cut off at the bottom the witnesses for the first get. We take a look at Rashi together and then try to illustrate this in a document, in a diagram, that is. Rashi, at the beginning of the mission at the Gemara commentary, the wide lines under the Gemara, V'nechush dilma tre gitehavu, ashir mixes haget v'kosvei bedaf hasheni, regarding the opening of the Mishnah where balance of the get that we saw was completed in the second column. Koi, we're going on that. Dilma trei gitin havu shleimim. Maybe there were two complete gitin. V'hasmoli nichtav begova shel megillah yoshimena yimini, and the left hand get, the left hand column, which represents a separate left hand side get, was written higher up on the original paper, higher up than the right hand get that was written in the right hand column. Ad de yisramu edim didei klomar. What was meant by the Gemara when it spoke about the witnesses of the second get coming out near the date of the first get, what this means to say, gomroi shel get sheni, the end of the second get, keneged hascholosei shel rishon, came out near the beginning of the first get. So just to repeat that, the get in the right-hand column started lower on the piece of paper, and the get of the left-hand side started on the top part of the piece of paper, working your way down toward the middle. And Rashi goes on, Zman dekamo, hainu hascholosoi, the Zman of the first get, the Edim de Basra, and the witnesses of the second get, hainu sofo, that is a reference to the end of the second get, klomar, shitois achronus she'edim chasumen tachteim, the last lines of the second get, which is followed by the witnesses that signed. And so that originally there was a much larger piece of paper, two columns, two separate gittin, and what did he do? V'gazi, Rashi continues, V'gazi lezman de Basra v'edim de Kamo. Chotach sofer sherishon shehoya shelo. He cut off the bottom of the first get, which was for him, talking about, let's say, the first couple. So you have the man divorcing his wife of the first couple. Why did he cut off the bottom of his own get? Mipnei tnai shoyabo. There was a condition that wasn't to his advantage that was written at the lower part of the first get. The chotach roisha shel sheni, and then he cut off the top of the second get. The yeshvu l'tchiloso shel rishon, and he did it in such a way that the last lines of the second get came out opposite where beginning of the first get had appeared. The kivein chaticha sofer shel rishon teva eitzel teva shel shiur hasheni, and he made an even cut at the bottom of the first get. Umigusha b'shnei chatzoi gittin v'edim lo al shelo chosmu. And the result of this is that the witnesses didn't sign on his get. We have attempted an illustration of this on this in the margin of the Gemara. So you can see in our illustration, you have get number one that is featured in the right-hand column. Get number two featured in the left-hand column. And under get number two, we indicated Zman, the date, and in parentheses, Triloso. That represents the beginning of the second get. He then cut across right above where the Zman of the right-hand get, where the right-hand get started. He cut right above the beginning of the right-hand get. And in the left-hand column, you have the end of the second get with witnesses. And then at the bottom of the page, where the witnesses, the original witnesses that signed the first get had appeared, he cut above their names, leaving the witnesses that signed on the second get appearing as if they are the witnesses for the first get. And as Rashi said, why did he do that? Because in his original get, there were some conditions that were not to his liking, and he did this. So why don't we suspect that? Let's now turn back to the Gemara. We're picking up the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rav, Kishigesh Revach Milamato. The reason we don't suspect this is because there is space under the first get. Rashi says, "Kishyesh revach milamato gilyan." There's a border. There's a margin. Tachas rishon devadai lo nechtach mimenu klum. The lo nechtach bo yoser. You can see that there was nothing cut because at the end of the writing of the first column, the writing doesn't come down to the bottom line. There's a space. There's revach after that. So that where did the writing continue? The writing of the original get continued into the second column. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'dilma zman debasra megas gazye. Maybe the get. Now we take a look at the Rashi. V'dilma zman debasra megas gazye. Shemo haget shelo nimlach milugomro. Maybe he was writing his own get, and he changed his mind not to finish it. Ulamalo heimenu betzido hoyo get achir kosu v'chosum. And on the left-hand side, there was actually another get, a separate get, that was written and signed. Ukshechozar v'nimlach legarsha, and when the husband who had started writing the get on the right-hand side, we said he had initially decided not to complete it. He then said, no, I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to divorce her. He decided to go ahead and divorce her. Chotach el yoinu shilsheni, he cut off the top part of the second get. V'kivein teva itzel teva ligmor get shelo. And he arranged it such, or he estimated in his cutting in such a way that the text of the first get appeared to be continuing into the second column. But once again, the problem here is that the witnesses that signed actually signed for a second get, the top of which he cut off in the meantime. We turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara answers, you know why we're not going to suspect that he did this? The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav, as we just saw a moment ago, Rabbi Abba quoting Rav, Kishyesh Revach Milamato. In the previous case, we explained why he had not cut off the bottom part of the right hand get, because there was a margin underneath the right hand side. So using that same idea, we now continue to the top of the pei ches. Hachanami kishyesh revach milamalo. So too over here, there is margin, there is blank space above the on the top part of the paper, specifically for our purposes, emphasizing above the left-hand column, so that there was nothing that appeared above that was cut off. Question: V'dilma imluchi imlich v'kosav. Rashi at the top says V'dilma imluchi imlich mitchila shelo legarsha. Maybe the fellow decided not to divorce her. V'hoder imlich la'achar zman lachzor ulegomro. And then, after a while, he decided, I'm going to finish off the get. V'nimtza harishon botel. The result would be that the first part is void, because he decided not to divorce her. Inami, another possibility here is, havilei nichtav v'yoy v'nechtam l'achar zman. Dehil v'yesh revach milamato nirin kein hadvorim. Another problem with this would be, he dated the get when he started writing it. Then we said he decided not to divorce her. And then eventually he continued. He decided yes to divorce her and finished off the get in the second column, and the witnesses signed. So you have a case where the writing of the get is on with one date, and the signing of the get was afterwards on a different day. The Gemara answers. We continue back in the Gemara. De kosav hareat milamato umuteres milamala. At the end of the first column, bearing in mind that, once again, we're dealing with a piece of paper that has a margin on the top and a margin on the bottom, so our previous suspicions don't exist. The most recent suspicion, nevertheless, has to be answered. So we say, you know why I'm not going to suspect that he started on one day with its date and then decided to stop, not to divorce her, and then why? And then maybe he decided to go through with the divorce and finished in the second column, because at the end of the first column it says Hareat, and at the top of the second column it says Muteres, which is the heart of a divorce document. Hareat Muteres L'chol Adam. You are hereby permitted to everybody. So it couldn't be that after writing Hareat, he then decided not to divorce her, and then decided to resume the divorce process by writing Muteris in the second column. Rashi says, on the first narrow line, after the Dibur Mas Hareat Milamato Umuteris Milamalo, the Besoch Kedei Gemar Dibur, that within the confines of the completing this sentence, Lekola Meimar de Mimlech Elagomer Ad Lechol Odom Vinimlach. What otherwise could have happened is that after he completed the phrase, he would have changed his mind, but not in the middle. But since he wrote Hare Ad at the bottom of the first and the word Muteris at the top of the second column, we're not going to suspect what we suggested before. The Gemara asks, the Dilma Isramile. Well, maybe that's what happened. You know, within one phrase, within the key phrase, he in fact decided to stop and then resume later on. When we say decide to stop, means stop and not go through with the divorce and then resume his divorce plans later. The Gemara says, Kule Hai Lo Chayshinon. That far, we're not going to suspect that within the what Rashi says, the Shabbosok Kedei Gemar Dibur Chozar Bo, that within the phrase that represents the completion of the divorce idea, that he would have had a change of mind. Rav Ashi Omar, the Adia Bei Mitachta de Megilta. Here we look at Rashi, who explains that Rav Ashi represents a response to all of the suspicions mentioned earlier. Rashi says, Rav Ashi Omar, Kulu Kushyaisa, all of the questions that we've raised, Bahochi Mitartson, can be answered thusly. Kagon Diadia Bay Mitachto de Megilta. The word Mitachto comes from in Hebrew the word Mosach or Limtoach, to stretch. How does that figure over here? Shenikir bei mesichas haklaf soviv soviv kol haget. We're dealing with writing a get on parchment. And parchment, when you write on it, you will use weights or clasps that stretch it a bit, attaching it to, let's say, a board upon which you write. So you have the parchment, which is made of skin, animal skin, which is stretched onto a board with clasps holding it in place. And these clasps hold the parchment into place, and they're positioned all around the get. Shelo hoya bo klaf elozeh lo lamala velo lamata. You can assume by the appearance of the stretch marks that there was no additional parchment above nor below. Shenikri svivus aklaf shochor v'rov shelo noga shom tara galovim. Surrounding this particular document, there is a blackness and thickness where there was no tara galovim is a type of razor that's used. Shederich oisei klofim shekushim avonim soviv. We described this earlier. It's the way of people who write on who prepare parchments to use weights, stone weights around, limtoach haklaf, to stretch the parchment, umaschilin lesakno besomuch, uksheein revach milamato askinon, the lekol lemifrach imluchi imlach. Rashi adds very importantly, we're talking about a case where there is no gap at the bottom, so that there's no reason to suspect that he had changed his mind in the middle. So this is a very different approach than we saw before. Here the get was actually written to the bottom, but we don't have to suspect any of the foul play that we mentioned earlier, because the we mentioned before, we call the stretch marks or the clasp marks are visible all around, where we can see that there was nothing cut off from the original piece of parchment. We mentioned maybe inaccurately that the clasps were used for the writing of the stage at which they would write on it, but it seems more likely from Rashi that in the preparation of the parchment, in order to stretch these skins to make it useful for writing, so it was clasped down as we describe. The main point is that Rav Ashi is telling us you can see through the physical appearance of the parchment that there was no cutting as we had suspected earlier. Chosmo Edim Barosh Hadaf, if the witness is signed at the top of the document. So there were several examples in the Mishnah resulting in puzzle. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that really a problem? Signing on the top or signing on the side? V'ho Rav Chosen Min Atzad, Rav signed from the side. Before we go any further, we have a structural topic and a heading with structural note. The house marking that you see are Shnei Shlavim Lasir Lahasbir Ech Rav Chosen Min Atzad Lamros Lefi HaMishnah Ze Pasul. Two approaches to understand how Rav could sign from the side when, according to the Mishnah, that would be unacceptable. So the Gemara answers. We go back to the text where you see the house marking. Chosam b'shegagoy klape ksav. What Rav did, he signed in such a way that the top of the letters of his signature were facing the writing, so that it's apparent that Rav was signing regarding the writing in that particular document. The Gemara asks, Elohadi Kotoni, Hekif Rosho Shelze Bitsad Rosho Shelze. We saw in our Mishnah an example where both gittin were invalid. The top of one get faced the top of the other get. If you recall, a man started writing one get from the middle of the paper downwards, then flipped the paper around 180 degrees and started from that same point with a little gap for signatures of witnesses, started from that same part writing another get. And witnesses signed in the middle for Edim, Bamsa, Shneim Psulim. The Mishnah ruled that both Gittin are Psulim. Well, why do you rule that both Gittin are Psulim if the description we just mentioned in defense of Rav, that when the tops of the letters of the signature are facing the text, the Lechsi Heiminayu Klape Ksav Blis Kasher, when the witness is signed in the middle, why not just look at which one of the gittin is facing the top of the letters of the signatures? The Gemara says, Hasam, the case in the Mishnah is not where the signatures of the witnesses were parallel with the gittin. In other words, they're simply writing just like they wrote the gittin from one side, from left to right, from right to left. Likewise, the signatures appeared like that between the two gittin. Not so. Hasam de Rami le ki ibra. the signatures that appeared between the two gittin that were written, head to head, the signatures appeared perpendicular. The word ibra is a reference to a door bolt. So that the, if you can imagine, you have to use good imagery over here, but that the signatures of the witnesses appeared like bolts that you could insert into the gittin, which appeared perpendicular or to the signature of the witnesses, or the signature of the witnesses were written perpendicular to the direction that the gittin were written in. So I can't associate either of the signatures with either one of the gittin. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi seifa de katani." Well, then we continue reading in the Mishnah where it said, "Roishoi shelzeh bitzad soifoi shelzeh." The beginning of one get appeared at the end of the other get. See that you had a get written from the top of the page, ending in the middle, and the second get was started from that point down to the bottom. So you have two gittin with a gap in between. And it said in the Mishnah, for Eidim be'emtza, and witnesses appeared in the middle, es shu'edim nikrim b'soifa kosher, the get upon whom the witnesses had signed, that get is kosher. Haha, but now, if you're going to set up the Mishnah v'i de Rami Kibra, if the witnesses appear in a perpendicular fashion to the writing of the gittin, lav bahadi hai mikri, v'lav bahadi hai mikri, then the witnesses are not read together with either one of the gittin. The gittin are written horizontally, and the witness is signed between the two gittin, perpendicular, vertically. So the question comes back, what about Rav? The answers that we've given till now, you can see now, have fallen by the side. So we go back to what Rav originally was described as doing, and that seemed to be against the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if the witness is signed from the side, it's invalid. Rav, though, signed from the side, and it was seemingly acceptable. Elo, Rav bediski havichosim. Rav didn't sign divorce documents. He didn't sign shtoros that obligate people to pay money in that fashion. He signed diski. What's diski? Diski are court orders to appear for litigants to appear in front of the court. If we take a look at Rashi, just a couple lines down from here in the middle of the Rashi column, Elo Rav, ki chosim in atzad, Rav's signing from the side, lo begitin velo beshtoros, he didn't sign divorce documents nor other contracts. He didn't sign them from the side. Elo bediski, kishoya mazmin anoshim ledin lefonov, when he would summon people to appear in a court case in front of him, Vasofer kosev lem igeres hazmona b'shmo, and the scribe would prepare a summons in Rav's name. V'hu chosei pomim min atzad v'inat poda b'kach. Rav himself would sign on the court summons from the side. That's something that we are not mindful of. That doesn't represent any problem. But in general, to suggest that that witnesses could sign from the side, as we follow the Mishnah that says, no, that would be unacceptable. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.